Deacon Sullivan, you know what to do now.
Lord God, we thank you as we gather here to praise you and worship you, and we ask a special prayer of protection for those folks in the Gulf Coast who are flooded and being stormed on, and we praise you for the wet weather here, Father, as it moistens the ground and prepares us for the planting season. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, good prayer. Well, with your song sheets today, on this Mother's Day, we'll start with number one. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of God we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever, forever. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare His glory. Every knee shall bow at Your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and Your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to Your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare Your glory. Every knee shall bow at Your throne in worship. You alone are exalted on high, and Your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let You go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, now I know. I love You, I need You. Though my world may fall, I'll never let You go. my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King, sing that again. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King. We got to let that one settle in, don't we? In the presence of the King, the one and only King. And you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, you do. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. It occurs to me in singing that, starting off, and this comes from Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Only one thing? You know, you don't have a shopping list, you don't have a long grocery list at God's throne of grace. One thing is all that you have desired of the Lord? Well, by desiring this one thing, everything else opens up, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, think about that, what that actually means. And rather than taking time to explain to you what I think it means, I want you to think about that throughout this week, what that means to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. And I think the premium on that policy has gone up. in these latter days, and we can call them that, that the cost of discipleship is up. In the heart of my own heart, whatever befall. And when we say whatever befall, we shouldn't be surprised day by day, the stuff that we read about, hear about, and so forth, and whatever befalls, and we don't know. As one person said to me yesterday in a conversation on the phone, well, tomorrow's another day. Well, today is the tomorrow that was yesterday. I'm going to do something a little different today on this May 12th, 2019, Mother's Day. I'm going to resist the urge to preach a message on sanctity of marriage and anything about abortion. I'm going to resist the urge to do that on Mother's Day. What popped into my mind as I was preparing for this is the book that came out years ago, Heather Has Two Mommies. That's particularly because today my theme for my message, you might say, is two mothers. I didn't say two mommies, I said two mothers. And what we're going to do here, a little different, I've collected quite a number of scriptures for us to read and share. I'll start off with a little preamble, you might say. Mother's Day is a holiday honoring motherhood that is observed in different forms throughout the world. In the United States, Mother's Day 2019, of course, occurs on Sunday, May 12th. That's today, yes. The American incarnation of Mother's Day was created by Anna Jarvis in 1908 and became an official U.S. holiday in 1914. Jarvis would spend later denouncing the holiday's commercialization and spent the latter part of her life trying to remove it from the calendar. While dates and celebrations may vary, Mother's Day traditionally involves presenting moms with flowers, cards, and other gifts. The celebrations of mothers and motherhood, and I probably should stop for a minute and say Anna Jarvis, who started that tradition here in America, wanted to take it off the calendar because she got tired of the commercialization, the way we say the same thing about Easter resurrection and about Christmas and, you know, other times of Thanksgiving and so forth, that everything gets so commercialized that we just as soon have it taken off. But of course we don't want it taken off, because if it's taken off, it's forgotten. We don't want that. We just want to clean it up, so to speak. Well, celebration of mothers and motherhood can be traced back to the ancient Greeks and Romans, who held festivals in honor of the mother goddesses Rhea and Cybele. But the clearest modern precedent for Mother's Day is the early Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday. Once a major tradition in the United Kingdom and parts of Europe, this celebration fell on the fourth Sunday in Lent and was originally seen as a time when the faithful would return to their mother church, the main church in the vicinity of their home, for a special service. Over time, the Mothering Sunday tradition shifted into a more secular holiday, and children would present their mothers with flowers and other tokens of appreciation. This custom eventually faded in popularity before merging with American Mother's Day in the 30s and 40s. So what does the Bible say about Mother's Day? The Bible consistently asks followers to honor and love their mothers. Examples of this can be seen in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother, and Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. While Mother's Day is a relatively new holiday in modern history, versions of similar holidays have existed through the centuries. The Bible does not directly address the holiday of a Mother's Day in its verses, but often addresses the celebration of motherhood and mothers, such as in the following passages. And we're going to read through those for our top picks of the best Mother's Day Bible verses. Look to the sections below. Now what we're going to do here is I'm going to hand out a list of scriptures that have been... Give that one to your dad. And we'll all read those scriptures. We're going to start with Sean on my left and go around counterclockwise. So Sean, you can read the verses you have on that sheet, please, and read them nice and loudly.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold my son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. John 19:26-27. The man called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You should be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 66:13. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Luke 2:51. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. 3 John 1:4. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13.
Good job.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 23:20-25. Behold, everyone who uses Proverbs will use this proverb about you, like mother, like daughter. Ezekiel 16:44. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Proverbs 31:28-31. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Leviticus 19:3.
Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Proverbs 31:25-28. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Luke 1:46-48. A gracious woman gets honor. Proverbs 11:16. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Proverbs 1:8-9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Deuteronomy 4:9.
Then the mother of the child said, As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. 2 Kings 4:30. Mothers are one of the first indications of the sovereignty of God in our lives. Mothers teach us to have confidence and belief in ourselves. Mothers knew from experience how important for people to believe in themselves in order for children to be whole, strong, and grow with a healthy estimation of oneself. And I'm going to read that last part again because it's so important and so lacking for the most part in most of our lives. Mothers knew from experience how important for people to believe in themselves in order for children to be whole, strong, and grow with a healthy estimation of oneself. It's obvious to me that in our society that is not taking place as it should. So it always, whenever we see that, it begs the question, why not? And my theme for us today, as I said, was two mommies. Now, because of blended families and mixed families and different circumstances that people are in, some people might say, I didn't have two moms or two mothers or two mamas or two mamers. I mean, however that you call your mother. I called my mother mama or ma sometimes. I only had one. Because my father only had one wife, and that's the way that worked out. And some people, you know, have two or three and four. I remember meeting a girl who, you know, told me that she had three mommies and four daddies or something like that because of divorce and remarriage and all that kind of stuff. And that's pretty complicated and pretty confusing. And I suppose at Mother's and Father's Day, as if you want to honor them all, that'd be a lot of flowers or a lot of golf balls or a lot of neckties or whatever that you're giving for presents, you know. So I think about it from my own situation, and everybody ultimately has two mothers. How can that be? You have two mothers. Well, you have the mother you have and the mother that you should have had. And I'm saying that, and I know that probably is provocative and makes people sit up and take attention. I always like that, you know. I'm saying, as a preacher, I always want to make sure nobody falls asleep in the pews, you know. Well, the point I'm trying to make here is that God has a plan for motherhood, as he does the same thing we'll say when it's Father's Day. He has a plan for motherhood. And that plan for motherhood is not always worked out by our mothers the way God had intended for them to do. And in looking at my own situation, my mother was 23 years old when I was born. Not tremendously young compared to some, but still very young when I think about it. And her mother had died when she was 13. And she really didn't have a mother during that period of time. She had aunts, her father's sisters, that helped raise her. And so I'm sure she missed her mother. And from everything I heard, my grandmother, her mother, my maternal grandmother, was a good mother and was a nice person that people respected and by all standards of things. And she was a Christian woman. That she was a good mother, but she left early. She died early. And how formative is it in a girl's life at 13, for that matter, of a boy's life too, if the mother is not there? Because if mothers are doing what God intended them to do, which I've read to you, mothers are one of the first indications of the sovereignty of God in our lives. So if some part of God's plan is missing in our life, then the whole picture that God wants to paint of our lives is incomplete. And so I look at the situation in my case. My mother became an absentee mother because of whatever traumas that she had had in her life, whatever problems that she was having that overtook her, and she became an alcoholic. She was a great mother before then. I mean, for the first 10 years of my life, I'm going to say, maybe roughly about the first 10 years of my life, she was a great mother. I mean, she did all kind of wonderful things for me, and my baby book that she kept on me for a number of years and wrote things in there shows a very dutiful, caring, loving mother. And I'm sure that she was, and I do remember that about her, except when she got into the bottle. When she became an alcoholic, and it seemed like alcohol was more important to her than I was, or her husband, or her children, which has happened to many people, and lots of people have experienced that. So when I say two mothers, the mother we had and the mother we should have had, the mother we should have had was the one that God designed for us to have. And of course, it's no accident. I mean, I had to one time in my life come to grips with the Lord gave me the mother and father he wanted me to have. Now, did they do what they were supposed to do according to what his will was? I don't believe they did in many things, and some things they did and some things they didn't. But I learned from them the good things. I learned the bad things too. And of course, what we do when we've learned bad things from people, those things we discard, and the good things we learn, we hold on to. In my particular case, my father's mother, in other words, my paternal grandmother, was a great mother to me. I was her first grandchild, I was her first grandson, and of course I was her grandson by her first son, and she was very favorable of her first son, so I mean, I had a leg up, there's no doubt about it, compared to the rest of my cousins born later, and even my sister. Because of who I was and my birth order and all that kind of stuff. My grandmother was a great mother to me. I could have easily said, particularly after my mother became an alcoholic, and my mother and my grandmother were very good friends. And I know my mother, my grandmother tried to influence my mother away from the alcohol and so forth and so on, but it didn't work. But she definitely was a great grandmother, and I would have been happy to say she was my mother. And she looked so young all of her life, even when she was very elderly, that most people would have easily accepted the fact that she could have been my mother. And there were times, I have to say, I was embarrassed by my mother many times. In so many different circumstances, where I was really embarrassed by my mother and what she did and crazy things that she did when she was drunk, and she was drunk most of the time, from when I was about 10 years old on until she finally died when I was killed in a car accident when I was 21. But I was never ashamed of my grandmother. She was always an honorable woman. She was the kind of woman, and she was definitely influenced by the Bible and wanted to be a godly mother. And I know that she was a godly mother because all three of her sons indicated that, and her husband indicated that. So she was basically a Proverbs 31 wife and also a biblical mother according to what we're studying here today. So I know that Mother's Day and Father's Day can be very hurtful times for many people, just like a lot of people at Christmas, you know, if you had a loved one die at Christmas. My mother died around Thanksgiving time in 1969. So Thanksgiving time is always remembered. And of course, around Christmas time was her birthday and my grandfather's birthday. And he died just before Christmas. So sometimes these holidays, these holy days that are supposed to be so sacred and wonderful, sometimes they have some stigmatism, if you will, to them. But regardless of what kind of mother that we had or didn't have, we still show them respect. We still show them love. Why? Because our disrespect is not going to make them a better mother. Our disrespect is not going to make them a better person. Showing them respect and love, even beyond what they deserve, is a very godly thing. And take a moment now just to think about that. Why is it a very godly thing to show somebody respect they don't deserve? And of course, all people deserve respect as being human beings, regardless of whether they're members of a crazy cult or doing crazy things. All people are deserving of respect because they're created in the image of God. And we know that many people are created in the image of God and they're behaving in the image of the devil. But the devil didn't create them. He messed them up. Just like he takes a good mother and messes her up with alcohol or drugs or any other kind of aberrant behavior. So when we show respect and we show love, even to those that probably don't deserve it because of their actions, we are acting in a very godly manner, because I have to think about the fact that God owes me nothing. I owe him everything. I show him respect, but he doesn't have to show me respect, but he does. Anyway, so when we're showing respect to others because they're created in the image of God, even though they're not fulfilling the function that God has given them the way they should, we're helping to encourage them in the right direction. And that's what we're here on earth to do with everybody. I had conversation the other day with a young man I think very highly of. And I reminded him, when we fight, we do not fight like the world fights. We don't fight like the devil fights. We fight like the saints fight. Yes, the saints do fight. Yes, Christians do fight. We don't fight like the world, and we don't fight like the enemy. We fight like Christians fight. And that's very important we do. And how does a Christian know how to properly fight? How does a mother know how to be a Christian mother? By studying the Bible and what the Bible says about these things. So all of our relationships have to look to the Bible, look to the Word of God. It's interesting because there are cults that spring up, and they almost always make, they always put the Bible on a lower tier than their own published book. And there's a reason for that, because if they really studied the Bible, the true Bible, they'd find out what they're doing is wrong, and then of course then they're faced with this decision, okay, now I know it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. And of course mothers, and I would include fathers too, but it's not a Father's Day message today, it's a Mother's Day message to mothers. The mother who's really following the Lord is going to try to indicate to their child, whether it be a male child or a female child. And by the way, folks, believe it or not, there's only two genders, right? Binary, male or female, that's it. Yesterday, conversation with somebody was in our house. He said, you know, does the Bible say those things? And I said, yes, it does. And he said, where? And I told him where, and Genesis and then Ephesians and whatever. He wasn't contradicting me. He just wanted to know the right street addresses for the proof text. So it's important for us to understand there is proof text. Lots of it, like I presented today with all of us reading a whole plethora of scriptures, and there are actually more. I could have had another, you know, dozen or more scriptures we could have read. But for the purposes of time and exposition, I felt those were enough verses to indicate to us. If somebody said, you know, and then it happens all the time, somebody might humbly say, I don't really know how to be a mother, but I am one. Okay, well, now that you are one, let's learn to be the best that you can. And mothers need coaching. Young mothers need coaching by older mothers, as young fathers need coaching by older fathers. We can help coach each other. If you have nobody that's a good mentor and coach around you that you can look to, you can have a surrogate, so to speak. And I had many surrogate mothers, and it was interesting, maybe because, and I don't know if it was something about me, being that my mother died fairly early in my life like that, that many mothers who didn't even have children, some who did and some didn't, were kind of took me in and became like surrogate mothers to me. So actually when Mother's Day came around, and one who passed away a few years ago, a lady named Mary Canino. She was like a mother to me, and so every Mother's Day, I always sent her flowers and recognized her on Mother's Day too, although she was not biologically my mother and wasn't biologically a relative. But she acted as though a mother to me, so she was a surrogate mother. So everybody out there, if you're in search of a mother, there are women who will be a good mother to you, even if you don't have your biological mother. And of course, a lot of people don't have their biological mother. One of my cousins, his biological mother died in childbirth. And so her sister came along and said, okay, I'm going to raise her child as my own son. And she never married, and she never had any children herself. And she raised her sister's son as if he was her own son. And he called her mother, and she was a mother to him, and a very good one. And that always impressed me, though when I was much younger, I didn't even get the concept, really. I didn't really quite understand it. Like a lot of things, when you're very young, you think you understand. And of course, as I tell people frequently, I thought I knew it all when I was 21. Now I'm 71 and I realize I don't know it all. So it's taken me 50 years to figure out I don't know it all. That's kind of the way that life goes. So when we're looking at that mothers are supposed to be teaching their children to believe in themselves, and for their children to be whole, strong, and grow with healthy estimation of oneself. Now, we have mothers that dote on their kids in a bad way, that instead of having right self-esteem, they overesteem themselves, and they're vainglorious and narcissist. Know lots of people like that. I like to tell the mother, stop doing that to your child. That's not helping them out in the world when they find out it's a real world out there and not everybody's going to bow down and worship them because you did. And it was interesting, in conversation with a mother yesterday, commending her for what I thought she's doing is a good job being a mother, she said, well, we're only hopeful that we're doing that. And of course, I said, well, you know, our children teach us a lot. And I can say that we teach our children, but our children teach us a lot of things too, about what it is to be a father, what it is to be a mother. You know, I can remember my kids saying to me, Daddy, you're not supposed to do that because you're the dad, you know. You're not the mother, you're the dad. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, all right, I can't be dad and mother at the same time. Why not? Lots of other people are trying it, but of course that's not the way the Lord engendered it to be, intended it to be, intended to have a mother and a father. But a lot of us, for one reason or another, fathers that leave their family. I read a story today, earlier today, that was very interesting by an ordained minister who does quite a lot of good writing and actually had been in the acting business for a while. And his father, when he was born, his father left his mother. And very young, his mother was very young, and the father left because he didn't want to be anything but a ladies' man. He didn't want to be a father, he didn't want to be a husband. So he left the family and never to be seen again. So the mother, rather than, you know, falling apart, decided to move from where they lived to closer to a family. And so she moved herself and her son. She immediately got a job. Working long hours and so forth, lived in a tiny little apartment, didn't have much at all. And the story that this fellow was telling about his mother, remembering her, is that a Christmas, that when the mother didn't have any money, she had put money on layaway to buy a Christmas gift for her son, and the store burned down, so they lost all their records. Most people chose that as a good opportunity to not pay their bills. She came in, brought her money, and she had her own receipts and everything to say, okay, I've been paying on layaway. And the lady said, well, we don't have any records. Well, I do. Here it is. So she took the money, and make a long story short here, I actually got the gift for her son, but she had no money for Christmas dinner. She set the table with a beautiful tablecloth her grandmother had given her, put the plates on the table, put silverware on the table, and said, "Okay, son, we're going to pray." And she cried a little bit, and she said, "Lord, forgive me, because you've been so good to us. We have a roof over our head. We've got a job, okay. You've taken good care of us. We don't have anything in the cupboard right now, but we trust you, Lord, and we're so thankful." Well, while she was praying, she heard a knock on the door. And she went to the door, and there was a delivery person there who said, "Here, this is for you." And she opens it up, and it had a note in there saying, "Please take this $7.50 and buy a gift for your son with it." His name is Austin. "Buy Austin a gift with that." So she said, "Austin, come on." They got in their little old car and went down the grocery store, and for $7.50 were able to buy Christmas dinner and put it on the table. And he remembered that. And she lived to be quite elderly. And even to this day, he remembers those wonderful things about her, just the way I remember wonderful things that my mother did for me and wonderful things my grandmother did for me. Of course, I remember the not-so-good things, too. I mean, I have a good memory, so I can remember both, but I choose to accentuate the positive, you might say, and diminish the negative. So all of us have remembrances about our mothers that maybe are not so good, but think about the good things about your mother. Think about the things that you appreciated about her and the encouragement for those that still have a mother who's living. And many people don't. I saw on Facebook recently that quite a few fellows are actually memorializing their mothers, even though their mothers have been gone for a long time. I don't know if they'll do the same thing for Father's Day. Maybe they will or not. Many people had godly fathers as well. So these are things to think about. Two mothers, the one you had and the one you should have had. And all of us should have had the mother that God intended for us to be, and all of those mothers that we had, maybe they intended to be like what God wanted, maybe they had no idea what God wanted and didn't know where to find out. I mean, there's a whole list of explanations why things could have been. So I want you to think about that as we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we're celebrating Mother's Day motherhood, and of course, in years past. Excuse me. I said Mother's Day, Mother's Way. I remember that the theme, I think it was last year. I remember these themes very well. I'm the kind of a thematic preacher, so I remember according to themes and slogans and whatever. I guess that's because I come from the television generation, you know, where the advertisers know how they can kind of put a little jingle in your head, so to speak, while they're putting your jingle in their pocket, right? Yeah, that's pretty good. Jingle in your head while they're putting your jingle in their pocket. So we want to think about that today and perhaps through the week, because there's a lot we can learn about this. And so we thank you, and let's take a time of prayer right now. We also want to remember the Christians in India that are being persecuted. Many churches have been burned down and Christians have been killed in India. There's actually been an order put out by the Hindustanis to kill Christians and burn their churches. Terrible thing. So we are actually fast becoming the persecuted minority in the world. All over the world, Christians are being killed at alarming rates in countries that don't care to have us in their country. And pray God that doesn't happen here in America. Although there's people in America right now who would be glad to get rid of us, I'm sure. So let's pray. God our Father, we're not going to call you God our Mother, because you're not. You're God our Father, but you've given us mothers for your purposes. And sometimes they did your purpose and sometimes they didn't. So when they didn't, we forgive them and we still honor them as you request for us to do. I, who have a mother, has now long gone, grandmother long gone, but others who still have their mother alive, that they can show some kind of honor and some kind of respect and some kind of encouragement to their mothers, to be better women, to be better people, because after all, a woman is a lady, not necessarily a lady, because that's a special designation, but a mother is a woman. No, and you can't be a father and be a mother at the same time. It's not possible, although many fathers have substituted as was needed, and we thank you, Lord, in those substitutions. So all the things we could be thinking about, all the things we could be praying about, Lord, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you're the only one that does, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for the mother that I had, even with her frailties and her shortcomings. I'm thankful, even to this day. And I thank you as always, and we pray these things as always in the name of our risen Savior, Christos Aresti. We'll say it in Greek. Christos Aresti. Christ is arisen. He's arisen indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.